everybody. Welcome to episode 406 of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace. This is a Valiant Sunday episode, and Jesse and I are continuing with the Valiant chronology. For those of you not familiar what that is, it's basically a reading order. We're going back from to the first titles from 2012 when Valiant Entertainment relaunched the Valiant line of comics, and we're starting with Exo Manowar. We'll probably do the first volume of Exo Manowar and then move on into Harbinger. So if you've never read the Valiant universe, if you haven't read the early stuff, these are great episodes to kind of read along, and you know, maybe there's things you're missing, or if you just want to hear our reactions to the stories or what we were feeling at the time that we read them. So today's episode is Exo Manowar 3, and we're continuing with the story of Arik of Dacia and how he
obtained the armor, the Exo Manowar armor. And you know, Jesse and I talked about it last time on the chronology about how compelling this first story arc really is. And reading this third issue, it also struck me how well paced it is. At the end of issue 2, we saw Arik bond with armor for the first time with Shannara, to the surprise of the Vine aliens that were there in the chamber. And this issue is like nonstop action from start to finish. So again, I was really struck by the pace of the story. And I know that we talked about this last time as well, but I wanted to ask Jesse, because I read the first, I think, 4 or 5 issues all together as one big arc, like one after another, and it really provided a really awesome reading experience because I got to have that huge chunk. Jesse was reading them off the stands, you know, and had to wait a while between. So, Jesse, I imagine after the end of 2, seeing Arik in the armor for the first time, you probably were anxiously awaiting getting your 3 into your hands, right? So what was that anticipation like? And then when you read issue 3, what was your reaction?
Okay, so like as I alluded to last time, one of my favorite issues back in the 90s, again, was Exo Zero. It was the chromium-covered origin story of Arik and Exo Manowar and how they came to be as one. And of course, with the 2012 reboot, issues 1, 2, and 3, they are recreating that story. Now, it's not the same story, which is fine. It's not supposed to be the same story. It's a new modern take on it. But whereas in the early 90s, that was all contained in one issue, it was an awesome read, but it was one issue, and there's only so much you can put into one comic book. Fast forward a few years, now here we are at 2012 at the relaunch, and issue 3 is the third installment of that story. So when I was reading these on the newsstands, taking them, you know, going to my local comic shops and whatnot, you know, I kind of already knew where this was going based on the history of the character. However, I didn't know exactly how it was going to go or exactly where it was going to go, or at least in terms of the new universe. So there was some anticipation. It was a very good, you know, almost nostalgic feeling, you know, and I was in my mid-30s at the time. So, I mean, but it had the same magic as I had when I was a teenager looking at it. And, so this was really cool. It really was a great experience looking back at it, and I was very happy the way that they did it the way they did.
Yeah, so let me give a synopsis, and then we'll break down the story a little bit more. So this issue starts out. We see a couple of Vine aliens. They're kind of annoyed with the guards, if you will. Can't believe the guards have let these humans escape. You know, these mangy animals. But I guess it makes sense in a way, because if they were any good at their job, they wouldn't be guards. They'd be soldiers like us. And they wonder if they maybe should wait for backup before they enter the ceremony chamber. And one says to the other, and they're like, yeah, you know, they're just slaves, right? They'll just be good target practice. So we don't need to wait for the other squad. I mean, it's just the ceremony chamber with religious trinkets in it. So they kind of peek over the balcony there, and paf, paf, they get immediately killed by Arik in the armor. And the priest, the vine priest that was had been there, whose job it was to take care of the armor, is just beside himself. It can't be. The sacred armor of Shannara has killed, you know, every Vine who's tried to wear it. And all of a sudden, a slave from the slave pens puts it on and survives. He can't understand. So Arik proceeds to finish dispatching with the rest of the guards that are soldiers, rather, that followed them, him and his companions into the ceremony chamber. And even some of the soldiers are like, the armor Shannara lives? Like, it doesn't make any sense. And so there's a bit of a lull in the battle, and Arik's talking about how good the armor is. Meanwhile, the priest is prattling on. Wow, you're the one the prophecies foretold of. Shannara chose you. The day's finally come. And Arik's best friend, Gafty's like, I've had enough. Enough of your chittering, and knocks the priest out. And Arik mentions that the priest said something about him being chosen. And Gafty's surprised. He's like, wait, you understood the creature's clicks and chirps? And this is if you're not familiar with Exo Manowar, you could really kind of overlook this next line. Arik says, it is as though I suddenly remember things I have never learned, as if the armor has thoughts. So it's very important to understand that the armor, Shannara, is very much a living thing. And already in just a short time, it's bonding with Arik. It's interfacing with his thoughts. It's giving him knowledge. And, you know, one would hope that that would only increase Arik's ability to fight, right? And he mentions, its power courses through me. It's almost too much. And then he's actually asking for Gafty to help him remove the armor. And as he stares at the stump where his hand used to be, his left hand, he sees the armor actually regrow his hand almost instantaneously. That's a bit of a departure from the classic Exo Manowar, where the armor had that ability, but it took a lot longer of a time. But here it happens in a matter of seconds. And Arik even says, my God, look, how many years since the creatures took my hand? This armor is capable of miracles. I understand why they revere it. So Arik pulls the weapons from the fallen vine, arms his fellow slaves, and says that the vehicles are the vessels that carried them to there are moored close by. I'll lead the charge. It's only a little farther, brothers. And I love Gafty. He says, lead the charge, then. You are the best dressed. And they attack. There's quite a few soldiers to overcome, really. I mean, we see in the panel guarding the ships, it's more than you can count. And so Arik yells for everybody to take cover. Unfortunately, before Gafty can, he's hit. And Arik says, rest here, I'll come back for you. Gafty's like, I never doubted you, but I'm gut struck. You must finish the battle without me. Promise me you'll look after my family. He fully expects that he's going to die right there, and that that may or may not be the case. So as Arik prepares to go back into battle, the vine aliens throw an explosive over there, detonate it, and pretty much Arik is the only one left standing. All the rest of the slaves are dead or unconscious. And Arik is filled with rage. He flies up, launches a missile at the vine, and pretty much takes them all out. And Arik says, there's always someone to fight. And that's in response to Gafty's kind of saying farewell. On the previous page, he mentioned something like, Arik, may you live until there's no one left to fight. Arik ever being the warrior, saying there's always someone to fight. So as Arik stands there, kind of looking over the carnage that he's wrought, he hears someone yell slave, and he turns and he sees it's one of the vine in like some battle armor that we saw when Arik and his compatriots were first kidnapped from Earth. And Arik even says, it was you who captured me years ago. You took me from my people, my wife, my home. If you'll not fight me man to man, you'll fight me armor to armor. And we see him manifest kind of that flaming lightning sword for the first time, cut into the armor. We learn that the vine alien who will come to be a nemesis to Arik is named Commander Trill. And as Arik attempts to kind of breach the pod of the armor where the vine alien sits, the vine alien throws a couple of explosives on him, backhands him with one of the armor's arms, and then detonates it. And it actually breaches the hull of the ship, and Arik looks to be unconscious momentarily. His visor is even cracked, and Commander Trill lets the Admiral know, the leader of the ship, that the animals outside the ship destroy the Manowar armor, and Arik's unconscious. He's seen pictures of his wife, Deidre. Return to me as soon as you can, husband. Return to me. And as Arik regains consciousness, he's thinking Rome. That's where he needs to go. That's where he believes that his wife is, since the Romans captured her. And the Vine on the bridge attempt to lock their weapons onto Shanhara. The priest, who has regained consciousness, comes running up to the bridge, yelling for them to stop. They must not harm Shanhara. And the Admiral says, the battle bridge is no place for you, priest. Go back to your temple. And Krill urges the Vine aliens to attack now. And the Admiral does indeed call for or give the order to fire. But before they can, Arik winks out of existence, apparently. And the gunner on the bridge says, it is gone. The armor is gone. Next, we see it is now. It is an Air Force base 30 kilometers south of Rome. All of a sudden, we see an object pop up on the radar, and one of the gentlemen in the tower says, unidentified inbound contact coming from above. It's traveling beyond Mach 10. Sound the alarm. And then we see this awesome picture of the Roman Colosseum, as Arik basically crash lands into the middle of it, digs himself out of the crater that he has created, and removes his helmet, kind of basking in his return. He's returned to Rome. He's returned for his wife. And before this day ends, they will both be free. He will unleash the power of the armor upon the Romans, and they'll be together at last. And as Arik starts to become more aware of his surroundings, he glances around. We see tourists with cameras looking at Arik, and Arik's looking back at them, and he knows something is not right here. And as he stands there, we see some, looks like military commandos, yelling at Arik, saying, don't move, we have you surrounded. Arik's response is, Roman pigs, the more of you, the better. But again, I think he realizes that something's not quite right, and the story's to be continued. So, as I said, I this issue was so awesome. I think when I was reading these books for the first time, this is when the story like really started to engage me. You know, like it was pretty compelling for issue one and issue two, but when issue three came, it was so much action. It was so well paced, and then to see this ending where, you know, Arik left and it was ancient times, and he comes back to Earth and it seems to be the modern day. I was very much like, oh my God, what's going to happen next? And, as I mentioned, I didn't have to wait. I immediately was able to go to, the next issue that I had purchased digitally. So, it was right about this time that I realized that Valiant really had something special, because I don't know if I have mentioned this on the podcast before, but I wasn't the biggest fan of Exo Manowar the first time around. He was pretty far down on my list of Valiant characters that I enjoyed. I loved Bloodshot, Ninjak, Shadow Man, the Harbinger Kids, and then maybe Hardcore or Exo Manowar. So they're pretty far down on my list. And so when Valiant came back and started with Exo, I have to admit I was a little disappointed. I was like, why not Harbinger? Why not Bloodshot? Those are the characters, or Ninjak even. Those are the characters that I really cared about. But this was the issue where I really started to care about Arik and the Exo title, and realize it was something really special. It was very much quality storytelling, because I remember reading the first issue and seeing Arik as this really bullheaded, brash character who, you know, wasn't particularly likable, was maybe even so far as to say unlikable. And I was like, how am I supposed to relate to this guy? How am I supposed to root for him when I don't really like him? He doesn't listen to reason. He's not logical. He's a, swing my sword and ask first and ask questions later kind of guy. But when Venditti brought him back to Earth, we had the whole time jump, which, made sense from what I knew and what I'd read of Exo the first go round, with the Valiant in the 90s, you know, it made perfect sense to me. And this is where I was like, okay, now that he's here, he's back on Earth, it's in modern times. Now the story really begins. So I just remember being really impressed with this issue and feeling like, wow, you know, this is exactly why they started with Exo Manowar. Cause this is obviously a quality writer telling a quality story. So, yeah, for me, this is where the story really took off. How about you, Jesse?
I was a big fan of it. Again, you know, when the relaunch occurred in 2012, this was kind of like the crossing of the T, the dot on the I, in that, hey, Valiant was back and this is where it starts. That was like the last page of what was going to, what was, you know, the prelude to what would follow. You know, I think that it was written well. I was very happy with, the way it turned out, and look, even going back and reading it, you know, several years later, I'm still happy reading it. I have, I kind of don't mind, Kerry Nord's art. I like it to a degree, with the barbarian, Conan the Barbarian style to it. However, I gotta say that they're early on, when I guess they were trying to iron out all the kinks, I still found a little frustration with things like launching a rocket out of the Exo suit, because it doesn't seem like something that, you know, a floral, organic kind of living metallic kind of suit would do. It plasma beams, yes. Lasers, yes. Electricity, thunder swords, yes. A missile with afterburners, maybe not so much. But, you know, I mean, I think they ironed it out, and we didn't see that too much. I also will say this, and I'm not sure if it was Nord or if it was Stefano on inks, but about halfway through this issue, the artwork starts getting a little lazy. Like, it starts out pretty good, and it finishes pretty good, but in the middle of it, all of a sudden there's like I don't know, just it has kind of a lazy feel to it. Some of the proportions start shifting. There's some real thick outline and inking going on, and I get confused for a minute. It's almost like it was rushed or redone at the last minute, because it's not in the same vein as what we saw in issues one or two, yet it's the same artist. So I think it was more of an inking issue about midway through. And it lasts for about 4 or 5 pages before it gets back on track. But other than that, I mean, I really enjoyed the issue and enjoyed the whole story, together. And then of course, from there, that's where, you know, this pillar of the Valiant universe starts.
Yeah. I kind of agree with you about the art, and you can kind of tell which pages those are by the fact that they're so light on backgrounds on those, because usually Kerry Nord's pretty detailed on his backgrounds, and then all of a sudden the backgrounds kind of disappear. So yeah, I wonder if there was some changes that were made like editorially at the last minute, because for the most part, certainly toward the end of the book, like the panel where RX kind of climbing up out of the crater is like one of the iconic panels from early Valiant, from their return. It's just, it looks so amazing. It's great. So. All right. Is there anything else we have to add about the issue? I feel like, you know, we could break it down even more, but really I think you owe it to yourselves to read this for yourselves. And, you know, it's interesting about this story is the fact that, or this particular issue rather, is there's so much action. It's like we could go panel by panel, but it's action, it's fighting, it's something that you need to see and experience for yourself. So as far as from a, you know, a critical standpoint, there's not as much here to kind of latch onto or to discuss. It's somewhat of a straightforward issue, but it really sets up the story going forward, as Jesse said. Do we want to mention anything about, you know, one thing we didn't say is about the cover, which is pretty iconic, and I can never pronounce the guy's name right. How do you say it?
I believe it's Yelena Kevich Djurjevic.
Yeah.
It's clearly Eastern Bloc, Ukrainian Russian
last name. I should probably be better at that, but I can't. But it's the husband and wife team. They both are just amazing artists with similar styles, and she completely kicks ass. The cover work on there, I mean, that just, if you walk into a comic shop and you see that cover and you don't want to go over and look at it, something's wrong with you.
Yep, I agree 100%. And they do a lot of the covers for the early Exo Manowar. And yeah, I mean, it's awesome. I mean, just the detail in the armor as it's forming around Arik and the I almost call them spider aliens, the vine aliens around. Yeah, it's a very iconic cover. And I think it kind of captures the power of Arik and the armor as one very, very well. So.
Yeah, you see her later on. She's actually the cover artist for pretty much every issue of Divinity, all the series.
Yep.
So when you look at the covers of Divinity, you know, 1, 2, and 3, and then the Stalin verse and all that, the main cover, not the variants, but the main covers, pretty much all Yelena.
Yeah, she's an incredible artist. Hope to get the chance to meet her one day. So, well, I think that's going to do it for this episode of Valiant Sunday. A quick reminder, next Sunday should be the Valiant panel from San Diego Comic-Con. If all the stars align correctly, I'll be able to get that recorded for you and then put it up. So even for those of you who aren't able to go to San Diego, we'll be able to enjoy the panel. So as always, we want to thank you for joining. Please tell your friends about us, subscribe and rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or whatever platform or app you use on your phone or tablet. The ratings really help us with our visibility and our ability to reach new listeners, especially 5-star reviews on iTunes. Also, all past episodes of the podcast are available on all of those platforms, as well as at lrmonline.com. While you're at the site, check out all the other pop culture coverage of your favorite and upcoming movies and TV shows. If you want to email us, the email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three spots are great places to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. And as I mentioned, obviously I'm going to be at San Diego Comic-Con coming up in just 1 week's time. So if you're going to be there, please hit me up on one of those social media platforms. We always love to meet listeners, take pictures, hook you up with a free Comic Source lanyard, as well as find out what you like about the show and maybe even what you don't like. So thanks for joining me as always, Jesse.
Anytime, you know where I'm at.
And thank you all for listening. We'll talk to you next time.